Fairfax News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
27 days to go before Election Day. Thank you so much for counting them down with us. I am Margaret Carrero and sitting in for Charles Feldman today, our Mike Simpson from LA's Morning News. On today's Countdown 2024, the Chief of Elections and Polling Operations for CBS News is going to take us behind the curtain on covering and forecasting one of the most unpredictable campaign cycles in American history. And we will get into one of the most divisive issues of this election, immigration. But first, this.
We got new polling today after several weeks of strong showings for Kamala Harris in the swing states. Donald Trump back in the mix in that blue wall of states. Today's Quinnipiac poll showing the former president with narrow leads in Michigan and Wisconsin. Harris ahead by 3 points in Pennsylvania. Common theme, this remains a super close election. There was a lot of volatility in that polling.
It is no secret that Kamala Harris had a very rushed timetable for her presidential campaign, jumping into the race in late July after President Joe Biden stepped down from the Democratic ticket. But a late start that has not hurt her fundraising totals. The New York Times reporting that the Harris campaign has raised over $1 billion in 3 months. No other candidate for office has ever raised that much money in such a short period of time. The Trump campaign has reported combined fundraising totals a little over $850 million raised over the entirety of 2024.
And the political fight over how the government has been responding to Hurricane Helene and now preparing for Milton continues. Both the President Biden and VP Harris are laying on the criticism of Donald Trump and his surrogates for spreading misinformation. They say it's hurting recovery efforts. Biden calling the misinformation reckless, irresponsible, outright lies. Meanwhile, North Carolina trying to make it easier for people impacted by Helene to vote in a couple weeks. Key, because it's one of those battleground states. Maybe a must win.
Forecasting election results and calling the winners of various races used to be considered fairly routine work for newsrooms, but then along came 2020 and a flood of election conspiracies, seriously complicating the job for political journalists. Anthony Salvanto is CBS News' Executive Director of Elections and Surveys. He oversees the CBS News Decision Desk that estimates outcomes on election nights. We appreciate you being here. Other news organizations have brought on additional reporters. Some of them are planning to send correspondents to monitor vote counting at the county level in some potentially pivotal areas. Is CBS News going to be doing the same or something similar this time around?
Great to talk to you, Margaret. Well, the first and foremost thing that I show everybody or tell everybody is that we are incredibly transparent with what we do on election night. I will be showing you right from the decision desk as we get vote reports in, what it is that the decision desk is seeing, what our models are estimating. We will show you where the votes are being reported from and where they're outstanding. And I'll also show you over time what we've seen historically, as, of course, counties will report at different times over the course of the night and what we can expect. All of which is to say, you will see in real time how we are making our estimates and how we're making our projections. And that's kind of the first step. That's really the first step towards showing everybody what's going on. And also not just getting to a projection, ultimately we'll see who wins and who doesn't, but explaining the why voters have chosen what they've chosen and why these patterns that we're seeing have developed, Margaret.
Does it change your calculus at all, knowing how close it is going to be? I mean, a squeak or coin flip, pick your term when it comes to these states, down to tens of thousands of votes in some of them. And Margaret mentioned the backlash. I mean, how much is that on your mind, if at all? You want to get things right. You always do. It's the news. We do the facts. But man, someone is always ready to pounce these days.
Well, it means I'll be drinking even more coffee. and it could be a late night. Look, if history is any guide, it will be a late night and maybe even beyond that.
I was going to say late night or like long week.
It's like, are you sleeping on a couch there?
Well, 2020 took days, right? And what we do is, yeah, well, I do, like I said, I do drink a bunch of coffee and we do stay through on it. Usually it's just sort of so exciting trying to figure it out that we just push through, but we do. And the other part of it is that I emphasize, at least if history is any guide, that when states take different times and county officials take different times to make these reports, that's not necessarily a problem or wrong. It's just their process. And you have to let them go through that process and then report what you see. And it's also important to stress that we at the networks and we at CBS are bringing you the information as we see it in our analytics, but ultimately it's the voters that elect somebody. It's the state officials that report these votes and that certify elections. So at that point, we're trying to shed light on what's going on and why. And that's our role, first and foremost.
We are speaking with Anthony Salvanto, CBS News' Executive Director of Elections and Surveys. He also oversees the CBS News Decision Desk that estimates those outcomes on election nights. If there are vote counts that are disputed in those swing states, how do you guys handle that?
Well, one of the things we do and we show everybody is the reports that we've received and how they fit in the context. We can show historical patterns. We also know the demographics of a state and of a county. And we also show, and this is very important too, the differences where we know it between the early vote and the mail vote as those are counted and the election day vote. And what you've seen increasingly is in recent years, there have been partisan splits and partisan patterns in that regard. Don't know if that'll show up this year, of course. We'll be ready if it does. But you've seen oftentimes in the election day vote, at least in 2020, you saw more votes there for Donald Trump. You know, Biden did better on the early vote in 2020. Again, that's a little bit of history there. But seeing those breakouts and showing people how that's all come to pass, I think is also important then at gauging and looking at how ultimately we get to a projection there.
So elections and surveys, let's talk about the polling for a second here, because you go out before the election and you're at the bar and somebody says, hey, man, I see you on TV all the time. I love what you do. How you explain all this to us. But I don't know if I can trust any of those numbers you have. Can we trust the polls?
You can, but let's unpack what we mean when we say, well, you know, so, and folks do say that. Hopefully they say we like what you do.
They're that nice.
But I do get sometimes when people ask me, well, how do you do that? How do you know? How do you talk to just a segment of people, just a sample of people, and really figure out what's going on? And that is about generating and getting a representative portion of the electorate or the state that you're looking at. And the second part is that in an election that is this close, you know the cliche, it all comes down to turnout, but specifically in polling right now, in an election where preferences are this even, what we do see is that where most partisans have said they're definitely going to vote, that's around 8 or 9 in 10 of each party. The difference there in who may or may not vote, even if it's 10 to 15% there of registered voters, it could very well be determinative. And there's not necessarily a poll that's going to estimate that right off the bat, you know, a week before or 2 weeks before an election. That's where you get, and back to election night for a moment, but that's where you sort of get the excitement of election night to see what people actually did and if they actually did fully show up. We do very well at estimating 90 to 95% of that voting behavior, but there are always some surprises on election day. In an election that's this close, that's sort of all you can do.
You know, Donald Trump loves to use the term fake news. And I wonder how you break through that noise to ensure that, you know, the American people know that what you're reporting is accurate and true.
The idea in all that we do, at least in our polling, is to give people a voice. And I think if you put things in opinion terms and explain why people think the way they do, then people come to understand it and I hope trust it. So for example, when people and many people have said to us that they don't think the economy is good, and you ask why, because we've seen a lot of macro measures, right? GDP growth, stock market, what have you, all being up. But they tell you, well, no, I'm really hurting because of inflation. And voters will tell you, well, it's really put an impact on my pocketbook. Well, that's describing something in personal and opinion terms to show the why. And you can do that for any number of issues. issues. And what that does, I think, is it gives voice to the public, whichever side you're on. And that, I hope, underpins some of the trust. That's what we try to do in our polling. You won't just see us say this percent and sort of walk away from it. I will always try to explain and give voice to people for why they're thinking what they think.
So when we get there, you're nervous, you're excited? Where are we with all this?
Well, you want to understand what's going on. And when you are in the moment, when you're on election night, it's very exciting to be able to deliver to the public that first report or that analysis. It's kind of fun to think that you've figured it out and you can report that when your analytics are on and when your estimates are good and converging. So that part, the excitement sort of overwhelms everything. And then we're back to the coffee.
Rinse and repeat, right?
And pushing through. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Anthony Savanto, CBS News' Executive Director of Elections and Surveys, oversees the CBS News Decision Desk that estimates those outcomes on election nights. Thank you very much.
All right, coming up here, one of the big issues in this campaign, immigration. We're getting into that next on Countdown 2024. Just real quick here, the president giving the update on the hurricane right now, saying the Weather Service has been clear with him. This is going to be one of the strongest hurricanes to ever hit Florida. Thousands of federal personnel, he says, on the ground, millions of meals ready to go, helicopters ready to fly when it's safe. Again, he's also talking about the misinformation at the White House, saying, frankly, un-American to spread lies when crews are out there trying to help people who need it. So we're monitoring that. We'll have more for you right after 3 o'clock.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Here we are. Thanks for sticking with us, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Mike Simpson in Fort Charles Feldman. Today, the immigration system is broken. You've heard that before, right? For decades, you got to go back to Reagan in the 80s to find the last time sweeping reforms were made. So no wonder it's always the economy and immigration when we talk about this year's campaign.
And of course, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump taking radically different approaches to immigration. To help us sort it all out and analyze the immigration plans of both candidates is John Sandwig, a longtime immigration lawyer who served as acting director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency in the Obama administration. John, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, I mean, key for Donald Trump is mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. If he is elected, hypothetically speaking, if you're the head of Homeland Security, kind of walk us through what that would look like to deport millions of people from this country.
Well, I got to tell you, given the current legal framework we have today, given the current budget levels of ICE and DHS writ large, I don't see how it's possible, but, you know, I know the administration or the Trump campaign's got some plans for this. But basically, I think what they would need to do is, one, first of all, build massive detention camps. And I know that's part of their plan, building massive detention centers and significantly increasing ICE's capacity to detain migrants. But the real challenge for them is the immigration courts. We have an immigration court system in this country that's really backlogged. And I know probably a lot of your listeners have heard this, but the situation at the border where all these asylum claims have come in, all of their cases have to be decided by an immigration judge. So when you have 3-4 million new cases to an already backlogged system, you have a process that now takes years before a judge can order someone deported. And I think more than anything, that's the biggest hurdle that the mass deportation plan will face is, how do you get those folks who are required to see an immigration judge to actually get before a judge?
Why are we so bad at that part? Because that's been years and years and years that it's been a problem.
You know, honestly, Congress has always, look, when you're running for office, you always want to sound tough on the border. So what you talk about is hiring ICE agents, hiring Border Patrol officers, maybe building the wall or hiring new technology, all the things that really both Democrats and Republicans have talked about for years. No one talks about hiring immigration judges, right? It doesn't sound sexy. And so what's happened is we had massive increases beginning in the Bush era and really the tail end of the Clinton administration in the number of ICE officers, in the number of Border Patrol agents. That means more arrests. But nobody really bothered to keep pace with the immigration courts, and they fell behind. And that's just the bottom line, is resources more than anything.
I mean, would you imagine legal challenges to this idea of the mass deportations if Trump were to be elected?
I don't see how he does it without pushing the envelope. And as we saw in the last Trump administration, that's going to mean legal challenges. So absolutely. Look, I think that it'll be interesting to see the courts are more, you know, he put a lot of conservative judges on the courts. It'll be interesting. The Supreme Court is obviously a different makeup today as well. But I will tell you that given the current parameters, given of statutory, you know, parameters of immigration law and where courts are sitting on immigration law, I don't see any way that he can do this consistent with existing law. He's going to need some judges to say that the things he's doing, the envelope that he's pushing, is actually lawful.
Lots being made of Harris changing or flip-flopping or getting tougher, different ways people describe it. Why the switch for her, do you think? Is it because she had to? I mean, there was an Axios headline that put it this way: Trump may still lose the election, but he's won the argument on immigration.
Well, he had a big lead when it came to the border. And I do think, yes, 4 years of people seeing images of huge and hearing about these huge numbers of people crossing the border, made a shift in public opinion in this country. So, yes, she's moved a lot more to the right, especially as it relates to the border. And frankly, I think the difference between Trump and Harris at the border, it's not as great as people might expect. You know, it's certainly when you look at the entirety of the immigration system and the undocumented immigrants who are here, there's a massive gap between the two. But you're right. She's talking about toughening up the asylum laws even more than the Biden administration has, increasing the use of criminal prosecutions, increasing resources for the Border Patrol, and really, I think, what most significantly, continuing to work really hard with Mexico in terms of getting Mexico to stop migrants from transiting through their country and coming up to our border in the first place.
Harris has also promised to bring back that bipartisan border security bill and to sign it if she were to be elected. I mean, how does she do that if the Democrats don't hold the majority in Congress?
Well, you know, that did get a lot of Republican votes. And I do think it's fair to criticize them that bill only died because Trump asked the House to kill it, right? So I think that I think that people need to understand that that was a radical shift for a Democrat administration to support that bill. For as long as I've been doing this, the Democrats would never support a bill that's that heavy on enforcement without some sort of legalization or some other kind of something that would be viewed as more pro-migrant. That bill didn't really contain that and would have radically changed the way in which people can get asylum in this country. So I'm not convinced that that bill or something close to it is necessarily dead if there's a Harris administration. I do think there's bipartisan consensus. We need to do something about the border. And really, like I said earlier, unless we massively increase the resources that we spend, especially on the immigration courts, we really are powerless to do anything about that border unless we change the law.
John Sandwig going to be sticking with us to talk immigration to finish off today's Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Mike Simpson, in for Charles Feldman. And with us, John Sandwig, former acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to close out our look at the immigration policies and maybe what the fixes will be.
Yeah, so what is the fix, do you think?
Look, we need bipartisan immigration reform that really, it's a broken record in Washington, but that addresses all facets of the system. You know, that means plussing up those immigration courts so they can handle the caseload. That means finding a path, really, for the people who've been here for more than, you know, most of these migrants who've been in this country, of the 11 million, have been in this country for 15 years or more. They have U.S. citizen family members. It is very hard for ICE to deport them, especially when the agency has its hands full on public safety cases, people who committed crime. So I think what would be ideal is Congress coming together, putting together bipartisan legislation that makes sense. Unfortunately, as you guys said, it hasn't been done since the Reagan administration. And that's just a byproduct of the difficult political kind of dynamic we face in the Congress.
So you say what to the people who are just like, I don't see it because it hasn't happened this long. I'm losing hope.
Well, look, I mean, I think the situation at the border, as frustrating as that is for a lot of Americans, maybe it's a catalyst for some change. I think people see that, and I think people who are honest and on the inside, because remember, this was a problem that was occurring under the Trump administration that they couldn't stop either. They realize that it reveals the cracks in the system, right? The under-resources that we have, and frankly, the kind of dated the laws that are in place that allow something like that to happen. And I look, maybe I'm optimistic here, but I'm hopeful that, you know, once this election is over, Congress will get back together, pass some legislation similar to what they passed earlier this year, and that the president at that time will sign it.
John Sanwed, former acting director, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Thanks for the time.
On Thursday's Countdown 2024, Lindsay Horvath, chair of the L.A. County Board of Supervisors. She's going to be with us in studio to discuss the overhaul of county government that is on the November ballot. Have you gotten yours yet? And there's a whole lot of other issues, from the DA's race to prepping for the Olympics. Remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 on KNX News through Election Day. And if you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just be sure to search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.